This is Joseph Gervasi. I'm here with Jackal of the band Why Die. It's March 20th, 2013. This interview is being recorded at Cinder Garden in West Philadelphia, and this is part of Loud Fast Philly. Hi, Jackal.
Hey, how you doing?
What year were you born?
1961.
Okay. And were you born in Philadelphia?
Yes.
What part of Philly?
North Philadelphia.
And did you grow up there?
Yep.
So can you tell me a little bit about what your neighborhood was like and what your young life was like prior to discovering punk?
Well, it was, I guess, a working class kind of a neighborhood. Working class black neighborhood. And it was a fairly kind of dysfunctional family, which is common in America. So I grew up with a lot of anger, mm-hmm. a lot of hatred. And that's pretty much what I was growing up.
So young you, did you have a means of showing your anger and hatred?
Not until I was like about 16 or 17 when I heard about the Sex Pistols. Mm-hmm. I was in high school and I heard about this band called Sex Pistols. But we didn't know anything about it. We just knew they were different from Kiss, because Kiss was like theatrical and it was sort of like not real. Mm-hmm. But we heard about Johnny Rotten like having green hair and throwing up on stage and shitting on stage. We didn't know if it was any really true or not, but we thought, this is different. This is not like, this seems real, you know, so.
So how were you first hearing about this?
It was all over the news. I mean, it was like a big thing when they came over to America. I didn't really listen to the records, but everyone heard about the Sex Pistols.
Right. So how is it then that you got to hear the music?
Eventually, my brother, who like kind of like rock and roll kind of stuff.
Was he older or younger?
Older brother. So he got me listening to like the Dickies and stuff like that. So then eventually I start going to Third Street Jazz. It was the Third Market. Mm-hmm. And then I got into like the Sex Pistols, and I started reading Slash magazine, which is a LA punk magazine. I started reading about Black Flag and Fear and X. And that's how I got into it.
So this is late 70s into
79, 80.
Mm-hmm. So were you aware of a punk scene in Philadelphia?
Not really. I mean, I didn't really know there was a punk scene in Philadelphia. I was in college in New Orleans around 79. I came back in 80. And I didn't really know what... I didn't know what was punk or what was new wave. I was starting to learn, you know? Mm-hmm. So I went to, like, the Dickies concert. It was in Emerald City. I think it was 1980.
What was Emerald City like?
It was a nice club. It was like a big, big club.
Where was this?
So this was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It used to be Latin Casino.
Right.
But you had to be 21, I think 21 to get in there. Or 18, I can't even remember. But anyway, I got there.
Right.
And it just blew me away seeing the Dickies. And eventually I got to see Devo, and I got to see the Talking Heads, but that was all kind of like new wave, you know. Eventually I learned new wave is different from hardcore. I was still like 19 or something.
So you're hanging around with other kids?
No, not really. I was by myself. Until eventually I start meeting friends at shows. I start meeting, like, I met Chuck at the X show. Chuck from Why Die. Chuck Meehan.
From Meehan, right.
I think I met him at the X show. And that was in the Starlight Ballroom, 1980.
So when does the idea come around that you're going to form a band?
Oh, it took about 3 years. But I knew I really loved it. I mean, I was singing in my room, you know, like pretend I was singing and put on like a Circle Jerks record or something, Black Flag, and sing. It wasn't until we had a band called Legion of Decency first, Brian and I.
And so what year is this about?
1982.
Okay. And did you perform in?
It was in one show and we broke up.
Well, why did you break up so quickly?
It was just too chaotic. You know?
Right. And where did you play the show?
It was at the Love Hall with the TSOL. Hmm.
So did you see in early 80s, did you see a kind of shift from the 70s style punk into this hardcore that was kind of, you know?
Well, I didn't know much about like 70s stuff. I knew I liked the Sex Pistols, but I got into like Sex Pistols, and then I started to learn about new wave. Then I got into hardcore, I guess around like, it was all around the same time. And I just really never saw any like those old 70s punk bands. Mm-hmm. Only thing I really knew was hardcore punk, which was Black Flag, the Circle Jerks, and eventually I learned about Fear and the whole Minor Threat and Meat Men and Negative Approach, all that kind of stuff.
What do you think that those bands were saying to you? Like, what was the appeal of that scene for you?
I liked it. The music. First of all, it was get a lot of energy and aggression, so. Mm-hmm. And a lot of kind of nihilistic views, which I shared. But then we had, like, the Bad Brains, who were, like, totally opposite. They had a lot of aggression and energy, but they were, like, optimistic, but I liked them, too. So, and Minor Threat as well.
Right. So what bands were on the scene in Philadelphia in the early 80s, and prior to you forming Y-Die?
It was the Autistic Behavior. They were, like, the main one. And I think that's about it. Maybe Seas of Terror. They're from New Jersey. Yeah, I think that's... I can't remember. There's the Sick Kids. And, of course, Pure Hell, but I think they had broken up by that and reformed. Mm-hmm.
So did you feel that the shows that you were going to were put on by members of the scene, or were happening at clubs that maybe were, you know, like looking to cash in on something that was going on at the time?
Oh, no, there were, like, people who really supported the music. I mean, like, back then, I mean, it was 1980 I saw X at the Starlight Ballroom. I think David Carroll put on that show. And then Susie and the Banshees played there. That was a great show. I mean, they made some money, but they really loved the music.
Right.
Unfortunately, I never got to go to the Hot Club. Was by the time I got into this kind of music, the Hot Club had closed.
So that was kind of the place in, you know,
that was the place. By the time I got into it, it was already... a lot of my friends had told me stories about it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I never got there.
Right. So why don't you tell me about how Y-Die came together?
It was... Mike from Y-Die already had written most... like half the music and lyrics. And he was friends with Chuck. And Chuck knew Howard and I, so he kind of like got us all together, and then we all got to start practicing. I wrote the other half of the lyrics, and Mike came with the music, and that was it around 1982.
And what was the meaning of that name? Like, how did the name come about?
Actually, Mike came with the name.
Okay.
He came with the logo, the name. We were going to be called Death Monster first.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came with the logo, Y-Die. So I thought it was pretty cool.
So what were your first few shows? Where were you playing?
Our first show was on Lombard Street, actually, at a party, New Year's Eve, 1982, 1983.
Mm. And then where did you start to play once the band kind of was...
We played like parties. We played Jeff Jenkins' basement with Husker Du. And then we played a show in the Wayne Teen Center with Ruin. This is like in 1983. And then we played, then we start to break out. We played like a show with Iron Cross, and I think it was, and some other, like New York bands or whatever. And it was like we started to break out. This is like at the Love Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, then we played Negative Approach to Love Hall. And then we played a big show at Minor Threat at Great Gildersleeves in 1983. That was phenomenal. All our peers were there. Glenn Danzig was there, and Henry Rollins, and the Bad Brains were there.
That must have been amazing, too.
It was amazing. This is it. You know, after only 6 months,
yeah.
You're like, this is unbelievable.
So did you record anything at this time?
We did a demo tape. Mm-hmm. And got great reviews from Tesco. So we said, wow, we got great reviews from Tesco, and we played with Minor Threat, and this is like, we couldn't ask him for anything better.
Right. So did you continue then to just kind of work off of that momentum and play?
Yeah, we play a lot of shows in Philly, but we're all like working class poor people, and we never had like a sponsor. I mean, Howard Saunders helped us out a lot, but we needed somebody with a lot of money to like maybe produce us or take us, buy us a van so we could do a tour. It never happened.
Right. And you didn't record a record, right?
Well, we recorded Place in the Sun back around a year later. So around end of 1983, we recorded Place in the Sun, a little 7-inch,
right.
45.
And what label was that on?
Our label.
Right.
We did everything ourselves.
Right, so you had to assemble the whole process.
Yeah, we pressed the record on our own label. We put up the money. Actually, Howard Saunders put up the money. We paid him back. And then we got the covers, and we pressed it together, and we wrote inside, and we got the little notes inside. We only pressed 1,000. Now they're like, pretty hard to find.
Right. It says eBay gold.
Yeah, they're like go for like $300-$400.
Yeah, nice. You don't have some like ferreted in the basement.
No, I only have one. That's it.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I know. I wish I had like 20 of them.
Yeah, you could live off that for a while.
Yeah, right.
So, how long did Y-Die wind up existing as a band?
30 years, and he was still around. I mean,
there was never a point where you broke up and then reformed, or what?
We kind of, like, slowed down. I mean, Mike moved to Arizona to raise a family, but we still keep in contact. And we had Brian, who was the bass player during the Black Dust era, switch over to guitar. So we've pretty much been around. Mm-hmm.
So what is it about the hardcore scene that's kept you involved for such a long time? I mean, really from the very beginning to the present.
I just love the music and the energy.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, anything's hardcore could mean anything. I just saw, I went and just saw the Rite of Spring by Stravinsky, and that to me is hardcore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was like,
certainly
it's all about music.
Yeah, tremendously controversial work when it came
out.
Right,
exactly, yeah.
And still today, it's really.
And they had the dancers and everything. It was at the Philadelphia Orchestra, I think. It was like a, to me, that's hardcore.
Yeah. And you can, do you feel that you'll kind of continue, you know, involved with this and keep some incarnation of Y Dialogue?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're pretty much the original band. We got Brian from the Black Dust era, who was back, he played in back with us in 84, so he's pretty much like original member. We got Howard, original member, and we have Chris, who's been with us like 10 years.
How do you think that the Phillies punk scene has been viewed by, say, the country as a whole, or even in the world? You know, where do you think its place is in the, you know, the pantheon of hardcore bands and stuff?
I think people are starting to recognize us now, you know?
You think that the city was largely overlooked for
a
period of time?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the way Philadelphia is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you've got New York and D.C.
D.C.
Yeah, that Philly kind of sometimes gets lost in
between. Right. But we got a lot of great bands here, and finally, I think with the internet and stuff like that, people are starting to realize that we had some, you know, we had Ruin and FOD, stuff like that. McGrath.
So how do you feel that that punk kind of moves through your life outside of punk? Like, do you feel that there's any element of hardcore that moves through your working life or other things outside of music?
What do you mean by that?
Like, is there anything that comes through, say, the DIY ethos or your experiences in punk that kind of affect how you view the world outside of the music scene? You know, when you're dealing with the world outside.
Yeah, I mean, well, I just pretty much.
I mean, do you
hate
still
people? I hate people.
Okay, so, I mean, like, so do you feel do you still feel like the outsider that you felt like?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I feel like I don't like pretty much. I mean, I like some people, but most people are just assholes, I think.
Does it get exhausting after a while to have to deal with, you know, so many assholes?
Oh yeah, especially what I do. I mean, what I do for make a living.
What do you do?
Sales.
Right.
So you got to deal with people.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be pretty exhausting.
Right.
Yeah. Well, super. I really appreciate you talking to me about this.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
That was great.